Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin once said, "When I orbited the Earth in a spaceship, I saw for the first time how beautiful our planet is. Mankind, let's preserve and increase this beauty, and let's not destroy it." Keep this in mind as we discuss today Elon Musk's and his SpaceX company's new contract with the United States military for a massive satellite expansion called Star Shield. And what does that mean for the United States military's ability to control global communications? My name is Elizabeth Ann Stewart.
And my name is Dr. David Wararu.
And you are watching Geopolitics in Conflict. The world is random, meaningless, chaos, or is it? How do some of the best, wealthiest, and most powerful people seem to know what's coming before it happens? Well, one way is that they create the circumstances in their favor, but the other is that they know how to read the world's stage and spot patterns and trends in key areas. They don't get lost in the overwhelm of endless information. They know what's important to pay attention to using their own formulas, and most importantly, they know where to put that information to actually make it usable. Would you like to be able to do the same thing? Well, we have a course that teaches you to do that exact same thing. It's called No Nonsense Politics. So if you want the leg up that some of the world's brightest have, as well as an online community of people who think for themselves just like you, check it out. Link in the description box below.
All right. Where are we going with this satellite stuff?
So I want to start with, what was the role of Starlink? So Starlink is Elon Musk's SpaceX's satellite system, right? It's their global satellite system. What impact did it have in the conflict between Ukraine and Russia? Because it had a very big impact.
Well, it did, because what has not been disclosed is that, for example, the recent missiles that landed in Russia, they were used by through satellites, U.S. satellites imagery. Ukraine would not be able to use that. That's why, and I'm not saying, by the way, it was Ukraine, because no entity came forward to claim responsibility for that.
But what a surprise.
But if you know anything about how the missiles work, you have to have the satellites that will help you navigate. And Ukraine doesn't have that capability. So the U.S. had to provide that one. That was the purpose of why you are noticing now more satellites.
Even
countries like, you know, Iran is launching, India is launching, North Korea is launching, China is launching satellites. That's the purpose for it.
Well, and so in the Ukraine conflict, what you're talking about is, so at the very beginning of the Ukraine conflict, do you remember when their communication systems were knocked out?
Yes.
When their communication systems were knocked out, who came to the rescue? Elon Musk's Starlink came to the rescue and restored communication to Kiev. Yeah. Now, imagine that on a global scale for the United States to have that level of power over communication, because eventually, so Elon Musk did try and actually pull out of that situation because no one was footing the bill for it. The Ukrainians were not paying for Starlink, and it eventually got very expensive. So he tried to pull out of it. Who's paying for it now? The Department of Defense is now paying for Elon Musk's Starlink to be put in place.
So Elon Musk is making more money at the expense of...
Yeah, he sure is.
That's my personal opinion. I don't hold the guy in a positive light. I don't trust Elon Musk.
Yeah.
You know, Elon, if you happen to be watching this, I'm saying it straightforward, man to man. It's just because... if you are you, Elon Musk, to be claiming, I do this for humanity and all, there is the other dark side that you are helping building with the satellites.
Right.
And this is where the you're going to see, for example, in the future military conflicts, they won't be managed from the ground. They will be managed from space.
Which in its own way is a little bit more terrifying. It's a little bit scarier that the technology has gotten this good. So a couple of things that are important about this is the first is the massive amount of them, right? So there's 7,500 of these things. And it's a massive expansion. So there's Star Shield, which is the one that is going to be used primarily by the U.S. military services and the U.S. intelligence services, right?
That's the one that we call the interoperability. So it will be used for dual. So basically, as a former military, what you will use it for, basically, in addition to other aspects, is to jam the other communications from all, you know. Usually the intelligence services do have this capability. The military has that capability as we speak. If you are to go to an area, you can jam the entire area. No signal will go through. So if you do it on a space level, on satellites that is, you're talking about jamming the signals because they are guided missiles. They are all that stuff has to go through the satellites. But if you jam the satellite signals, then there were only three countries that matter in all this: the U.S., China, and Russia. That's basically it.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about that race, because China's technology, China is graduating, 1 million scientists and engineers per year. So there was a time where China was known for perhaps stealing the secrets from other countries. But at this point, their education and their technology is so good that that does not appear to be necessary anymore.
Yeah, but other countries do it too.
Absolutely.
Let's just be straightforward. If I am to tell you, how did Pakistan build its nuclear capability?
Right.
You know, it was stolen because of Abdul Qadir Khan. They called the nuclear father. Pakistan passed away, by the way. He stole the technology from the Netherlands. From a nuclear site. So it's kind of every country does it. But you're absolutely correct. It's the race that is now going to move. What makes the case for China very interesting is because their space station is going to be operational by 2028.
Right.
You're looking, that's how fast they move forward.
Right.
But that's not where the big question mark in that. The big question mark is in what China is planning on doing now. Is using nuclear technology to fuel its space stations up there.
Which is a pretty big deal. And so the race for space is actually getting very heated. And I think this is very much the next step of that. You know, I think Obama is who defunded NASA back in the day. Was it Obama?
I don't recall.
Anyway, NASA got a big clip a big portion of the contracts have gone to specifically SpaceX to put a lot of the U.S. military stuff into space. And I'll talk about in a little bit later in this video, if you guys keep watching till the end, I'll tell you what other contracts SpaceX actually has going on with the Pentagon right now, which is also very interesting. But my big concern about this is, you know, do we really, really need this many more satellites up in space spying on probably us? Because if we're being real, that's what happens. I think it's not a question of privacy anymore. You know, my generation and the generations below me, we didn't grow up with privacy. Privacy is not something that we have ever had or that we ever really understood as a concept. We all sort of know our phones are listening to us for ads. We all sort of know, you know, I was very young when 9/11 happened. And so all of that monitoring that got put in place there and never went away.
That's called the Patriot Act.
Patriot Act.
2004. And as a matter of fact, with that Patriot Act, it was one particular program that nobody knew about.
Oh, what is that?
It's called PRISM program. PRISM. So you can look it up.
Very interesting.
It's not declassified now, but it came out. So, but it was by which the United States was scooping up all communications in or out of the United States.
Wow.
So it's kind of, you're absolutely correct. The privacy part is gone.
It's gone. So I don't think we really, I don't know that that's ever going to go away. I wish that it would, and I wish that we would get privacy back, but I don't really see that happening. But the other big part of this is, you know, the Freedom of Information Act allows a United States citizen to go to the government, Department of Justice, and say, I would like to know where this money is being spent. I would like to know what's happening here, right? But that doesn't apply for private companies. And so what's happened with the military-industrial complex is, and this is happening here in this case as well, that this this is being purchased through a private company. This is being farmed out to a private company. It's being farmed out to SpaceX. And so I think a big question when we're looking at big Department of Defense, big military stuff like this, is that there is no real opportunity for any oversight by the everyday person. That's not possible anymore.
The way it works in Washington, there are certain deals that's behind closed doors, even in Congress, usually certain settings. You take, for example, the Sub-Intelligence Committee. In certain aspects, you will allow media attendance, like C-SPAN, for example. C-SPAN will not even be able to access or get in or have or be granted access to certain hearings because those are off limits. And that's where the deals are made. So for Elon Musk's approach to the Pentagon, but also this one also is a reflection of the changing geopolitical landscape. Because when you change about the geopolitical landscape, you also have to think in terms of the security, global security. Mm-hmm. It is changing. The dynamics are changing. And the U.S. wants to keep, we always had a leg up.
Absolutely.
When it comes down to space, not anymore now. When you see, for example, Russia and China, they are going to be working on a joint research in space.
In space.
So there are some dimensions to all this. So this is why for Elon Musk, personally, and I, again, my personal opinion, I just don't trust the guy in the matter what he says, let alone now he owns Twitter. What's going to be next? So to go back to your point about the privacy aspect, so even though the Fourth Amendment, it says, the United States government shall not infringe upon the citizens' rights. Shall not infringe. That's the key word. It's for us at this point, sad to say, the Constitution became just nothing but a consumption of ink.
Yeah.
It's sad to say.
It's true. I think you're very right. I think you're very right.
Yeah. So this, basically what you're going to be looking for moving forward is that the dimensions of the military operations, space is going to play a major role.
Yeah.
I'm aware of some, do we call them weapons? Should we call them technologies, whatever, in space?
Yeah.
That they are strictly for, those will be deployed or engaged in a very hot conflict.
Did you know that most people don't know we have a space force? That the United States has a space force?
Yeah, they will not know that.
You know, I actually only found that out because I drove by a space force base.
Yes, we did.
And I looked over and I said, the United States has a space force. And I think most people don't realize how much is actually going on in space. If you guys are interested in this, let us know in the comments below, because I would very much, and I think you would probably like to talk a little bit more too on this channel about some of the interesting things that are going on in space. We talked about, you know, helium-3, we talked about mining on the moon. There's a lot that we've talked about, but I think there's some very, very interesting things that are not really being talked about right now that are very important too, because you're right. Warfare is not just happening on the ground anymore. It's happening up there. Resources are not just happening on the ground. It's happening up there too.
And that's why we've been spending, most Americans do not even know the real figures how much it spends on space. It's about $20 trillion.
So if you guys are interested in hearing a little bit more about what that $20 trillion is going to, let us know in the comments below. So really quickly, SpaceX's contracts with the Pentagon. So like I promised earlier, so the U.S. Space Force has contracted SpaceX's Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy rockets. So they did this in 2020 to launch at least 40% of its national security space launches between 2022 and 2027. 40%. So 40% of its launches are going to be through SpaceX. Our Space Force is utilizing SpaceX for that.
I wonder if it was any bidding for the contract.
I wonder. I suspect not.
Which is a regulation here in the U.S. for contractors and all that. So.
So SpaceX was awarded $149 million in 2022 also to build four new missile tracking satellites for the Space Development Agency. That's a large chunk of change. SpaceX won key approval for expansion from the Federal Communications Commission in to expand Starlink, to expand its Starlink network. And Musk, Elon Musk, estimated that that could bring in as much as $30 billion in revenue a year.
Yeah.
So it looks like SpaceX is probably going to be hiring in the near-term future.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, Elon Musk will have to be thinking in terms of truly what is his impact on humanity. There are those who are saying, that's why I said I can't trust the guy. I won't, and that's me. And,
yeah.
And, you know, you respect him as a human being. That's about it. But as far as the question that, you know, any intelligent person would be asking is,
yeah,
okay, how much impact are you having on humanity? To what degree?
Let's take a quick break.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
You know, there's a quote, I think it's Tulsi Gabbard that said it, is when someone enters into Congress, for example,
yeah,
how with great ideals, they know what they're going to do. They're going to do good for the world. They're going to do good for humanity. How long does it take that person to get overcome by the system of corruption, of greed, of self-servingness? How long does it take that idealistic person to fall into that trap? Mm. And I think she said it was something like under 6 months.
Yeah.
It was not very long.
Do you want me to tell you a personal story?
Yes, please.
I was asked to run for Congress.
Yeah.
And somebody I know, I trust. He's a good friend. Passed away, by the way. Mm. And I told him, I said, are you smoking weeds? I said, do you know what it means for me to go to Congress? Now, of course I won't.
Right.
But I said, let me tell you this. You know, if I am to do this, then I will compromise the trust of the constituents who put me there.
Absolutely.
And here is why.
Absolutely.
Because once you get to Congress, if you're going to truly work for your constituents, you're going to end up in a corner by yourself.
Yep.
No legislation, no bill will be introduced in your name for the welfare of your constituents who voted you in.
Yep.
That's so you have to be part of the club to do it, which means what? The lobbyist will come to you and said, hey, we will be happy to fund your next elections in return for A, B, C, and D.
Yep.
If you say no, what are they going to do? They're going to go to your competitors.
Exactly.
Which means you will be a one-term.
Yep.
You know, your constituents might not understand those dynamics inside. But
yep,
this is why our Congress is dysfunctional to the core.
To the core.
Yeah, this the system, the whole American system. I know some, I see some comments sometimes, some say, well, you criticize the United States. You know, you have no idea what I have done for this country.
Yeah.
Okay? So for those who lash out with this, just statements that out of, you know, I respectfully disagree with whatever you say. You're entitled to express your opinion, but you have no idea what are you talking about. So the idea of the system that becomes so broken down at the expense of the average citizens.
Right.
You know, you got a masses that get so distracted by so many. You know, it's sad. It's sad to see what has become of the United States. But usually those are an indication for the beginning of the end. You look at history, you look at the trends, you look at major powers that were before us, the Dutch, the Portuguese, the Spaniards, the French,
the Brits.
The British, then before them the Ottomans, the Romans, mm-hmm. even some other dynasties, you know, they just, that's how they end.
Yeah.
When you start to have the system, the foundation of the systems, like for example, privacy, has been chipping in. That's it. That becomes the beginning of the end. So with what, just to tie it back to what we're talking about, with what Elon Musk is doing with it, you know, I just don't get it. And yet you will hear him talking about, well, the transparency and this and that. But,
well, in my opinion, speaking to that, you know, humanity is a grayscale, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, none of us is pure good and none of us is pure evil, right? We both have both inside of us. There have been a lot of dark times. And I think that's exactly what you're speaking to, is that right now here in the United States, we're having challenging dark times.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like this is a wonderland. And I think it was touted as this beacon, this wonderland for so long that the idea that it's falling is very challenging for a lot of people to hear. But it's true. You can walk out on the street anywhere and you can see there are very real problems. You can go to the grocery store and see there are very real problems here. And if you don't say anything about the problems, the problems will keep getting worse. So we're talking about these problems so that they can get better. If you shine a light in a dark place, all of those shadows, the light gets put on them so that you can deal with it. And that's what we're trying to do here, is to shine the light on some of these places so people can see that it's happening and can do something about it, because you don't have a chance to do anything about it if it is hidden and if it's in the dark.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't get those kind of comments. I kind of just shake my head.
I know.
What do? You forgive their ignorance. That's
absolutely
all you can do. I mean, they're entitled to express whatever, but I'll just shake my head. Because they don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know. You forgive them.
And they may not even be here. They might not even, you know, they might not even be here looking at what's happening.
That's right.
But
for you, if you are an American, you're going to need to pay attention to what's going on.
Absolutely.
The government ain't going to do it for you. So you better wake up. Most of us Americans are asleep.
Absolutely.
Sleep by design.
Sleep by design.
You need to wake up.
So there's a quote that Deepak Chopra made during the last election between Biden and Trump. Because there's huge divisiveness, which, by the way, like you're speaking to, is a trend for the fall of an empire. At the very end of an empire, there's very substantial divisiveness between particularly two parties. One side and then the other side, and they're both blaming each other for the problems. So what Deepak Chopra said is that whoever wins, you get the government that you deserve. And he didn't mean it in a negative way. And that's not an exact quote, but basically that's what it was. And he didn't mean it in a negative way. What he meant is that unless you actively step up and say, okay, this is what I want, you're going to be washed over by whatever system you're in.
Indeed.
And so that's what... And I want to bring this back to Elon Musk for a second, because, you know, you're talking about not trusting the guy. And I think that's absolutely fair. You know, he has his own agendas. We don't know what they are. And yes, in one side, he's looking at Twitter. And one side, he's kind of cleaning house in a very major way in Twitter. And then on the other side, he just took this giant military contract. And so, you know, while a lot of people are paying attention to what he's doing at Twitter, how many people are paying attention to his defense contracts? But at the same time, we don't know what his motivations are. Are his motivations to do good for the world and put his 2 cents into military conflict, or to put his 2 cents into being able to control communications to this extent? Are his intentions for the good of humanity or not, I don't know.
Well, he might have an answer when he is closer to checking out from this earth.
Probably. So, headed to Mars, right?
Yeah, he'll go over there. So at least that's one thing we all going to experience.
It's true.
You know he's going to, maybe ask some of these questions. I don't know. Some people sort of wake up to the reality during the final hours, mm-hmm. It's kind of they start wondering, what have I accomplished in my life?
Yep.
Because all the wealth, all that won't matter.
It doesn't.
Nothing will matter anymore.
Nope.
So that's why you kind of wonder, what are they running after? We're just passing through here. So.
You know, Elon Musk talks semi-openly, I guess, about his sort of views on reality being more or less a hologram or video game. And it's interesting to watch his behavior based on that piece of information.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's all we can share for now. Maybe some other episode we can talk about space. There is a lot going on about space, by the way. Mm-hmm. I know we don't talk much about space.
I think we need, and if you guys are interested, let us know in the comments.
Yeah,
but I think we need to.
I do have some information.
Uh-huh. So. I know you do. Well, thank you guys for watching. And as always, prepare yourself for the changing world order. Till next time.
Bye-bye.